You thought you'd gotten rid of us, didn't you? But you were wrong, old bean, because we're back with a vengeance.
God save the Queen, my son.
From studios in Hollywood, California, rural southern Indiana, and the hinterlands of North Dakota, this is the Live, Laugh, Golf Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Desert Duffer, OTB Lefty, and Jay Score.
Welcome back to the podcast. Desert Duffer here, along with Jason OTP Lefty. How are you?
Great this evening. Great to hear from you.
And Jay Score, how goes it?
I am doing very well, Duff. Thank you.
Folks, I am on the ground in the Boston area for Live Golf Boston. I was there today in Bolton, Massachusetts. Fellas, it was our first event as a credentialed member of the media. Big day. Big day.
Huge day.
Yeah. So we're in Bolton. I didn't look up where this course was until many of the arrangements for this trip had already been made. We're in Bolton, or I'm currently in the real Boston, but the tournament is being held at a club somewhere in central Massachusetts. It's not as far as some would make you believe, but it's a good 45-minute drive from Boston proper. So I had to wake up early this morning.
Did you rent a car? Did you Uber? What's the story there?
Listen, don't worry about
bus?
It.
Is there a limousine? Did somebody come pick you up?
Did your mom drop you off at the golf course? I'm staying at the Desert Duffer ancestral home. There's a variety of chariots here for my choosing. I took one of them. I drove it out by myself. No driver this time. I took it all the way out to Bolton. It was fine. Listen, I got coffee here at home, but again, as a newly credentialed member of the media, I was entitled to a veritable smorgasbord of breakfast choices. There were bagels. There was yogurt. I did have some additional coffee on the Live Tour.
How was the coffee, though? Was it decent or what?
J-Score, you know I'm not like you. I'm not a coffee snob.
Did they have Baileys then?
If it's hot and it takes Baileys, then it's fine with me, you know.
Yeah. So yogurt, was it Greek?
Again, I'm also not a yogurt snob. I did not partake of the yogurt. I simply had a bagel. There was a nice staff member available, asked me if I would like it toasted. I answered in the affirmative. I placed cream cheese on it.
Good schmear.
I'm not going to lie to you. I got a little bit of a late start this morning. I didn't get there at the time that I wanted to. I needed some sustenance before going in there and doing my big J journalism bit. So in truth, yes, I was a couple of minutes late for the Bubba Watson and Harold Varner III press conference. That's my fault. That won't happen again. You know, it's growing pains. We're new media.
Were you stuck standing up then in the back if you walked in late? I assume it was packed.
No. See, I mean, now remember, I do have a journalism degree, so it's not my first press conference. I was smart enough to, although I didn't have a laptop at the time that I was attending press conferences previously, I was smart enough to place my laptop down on a table and then go downstairs to the media dining area.
Pro move.
To get me. Yeah. So it was fine.
How was the energy level in that first one? I mean, not only them, but you.
Yeah, I mean, I was on two cups of coffee, so I was good. But the first one was kind of rocking. The attendance was high for the first one. It was standing room only. I had a seat, but some people were standing. Those two, so the first press conference was Bubba Watson, who, of course, is not playing this week, but he's a captain, and Harold Varner III. Those two ended up doing kind of a vaudeville routine up there. It was like they should have had a podcast. They seemed very comfortable, cracking jokes about delaying Bubba's private jet, you know, things of that sort.
So they look like friends in real life to you?
Yeah, they seem to really enjoy each other's company. I think they get a kick out of each other. That's going to be a good team. You know, a lot of the teams from what I've seen, you know, some of them have – there's no doubt that some of them have just been put together because of nationality or because of convenience. But there are certain teams where you know that the guys playing together really have an established relationship. Leishman and Cam Smith, obviously. But it seemed to me, and this is my first time, and maybe they were faking it, but it seemed to me that Bubba and Harold Varner III have a pretty good relationship.
That's
love
cool.
To hear that.
What was the best answer you heard, best question you heard, thing you learned?
So the key takeaway for me from today is that this, especially these latest signings, have really cemented Liv's position in the golf market as the international tour, as the world tour. I was kind of blown away with the way that Anirban Lahiri, I'm going to start calling him Bon. Apparently, but they call him Bon. It's a lot easier to say than Anirban.
It does sound a lot easier.
It's Bon. Bon Lahiri was thoughtful, eloquent, and he spoke about how and why he decided to come to Liv and what the reasons for that were. And a lot of them were, of course, bringing golf back to India. In his off season, he goes to India, he conducts clinics, he gets into his community, tries to actually spread that cliche of growing the game. And people say, oh, yeah, sure, but Lahiri wouldn't have done this if it weren't for the money. Well, first of all, obviously the money was a part of it. We don't know how much it is. I think it's bordering on offensive to say that he wouldn't have done it but for the money, because you could say the very same thing about him coming to the United States to play golf, to play on the PGA Tour. I think that there's this perception, and it's primarily in the U.S. golf media, that the PGA Tour is the pinnacle of success, and of course you would want to come here because this is where all the best have played. Well, some of the best have played here. But the reason that people come here and the reason that some of the best have played here is because of the money. Mm-hmm. These guys, Cam Smith, Bon Lahiri, they're not dying to be away from their friends and their family and the people that they've grown up with and the people that they care about thousands of miles away just because Florida is so awesome. They come here for the money so that they can take care of their families, because this is the one place on earth that they can play golf and have that financial security. So it's just ridiculous to hear these people say, oh, well, you're only leaving, you're only going on this new tour, this exhibition tour, because of the money. Well, yeah, that, and because this exhibition tour has told Bon Lahiri that we're going to try to get an event in India and we're going to have clinics and lessons in India. And they've told the Cam Smith that we're going to have one or maybe two events in Australia, and you're going to be able to go and you're going to play in the Australian Open and the Australian PGA Championship. And yeah, that matters, guys.
It really does. Did you read the article from Australian Golf Digest about Cam?
I don't think so.
Well, anyway, he's lived in the United States for 7 years, basically, since his U.S. Open performance got him some temporary status on the PGA Tour. Like, he's a real success story, like, by bootstrapping himself up through the, like, kind of the hard way in exemptions. But he hasn't been home in, like, 2 years. And now he thinks he'll be able to be home 3 months a year or more. And just a simple quote from a young man who's unmarried saying, quote, I've lived here over 7 years now and I love living in the United States, but just little things like missing friends' weddings, birthday parties, and seeing your mates having a great time at rugby league games has been tough.
Yeah, and he talked about that today at the conference too. He talked about the fact that he's got friends who are having children that he hasn't met yet. You know, these are important things in a young person's life that, you know, golf media in this country takes for granted because, oh, but how could you give up the genesis? Think of the history. Well, you know what else has history?
Sanderson Farms.
You know what else has history? The Australian Open that nobody's played in since the FedEx Cup, since Jay Monahan, the PGA stooge, initiated the wraparound season and made it impossible for anybody to go down there and play in that tournament that Jack Nicklaus won, that Gary Player played in and won seven times, that everyone won. Frankly, this should be a major championship. Let's talk about that for a second. How is it that in neither the men's nor women's game is there a single major championship outside of the United States and Europe? Think about all the major champions from the Southern Hemisphere. How many majors did Gary Player win? We've got Ernie Els. We've got Adam Scott. We've got Cam Smith. None of these guys can think of winning a major in their homeland or even nearby Asia. All the South Korean women who have won major championships, they don't get a major championship. It's absurd.
Something else in the same vein. I hate to just agree with you, but let me just try to like tangentially agree. It's bad for the brand, Duff. I mean, give me a second here. But anyway, so much talk about history. The thing about history is it was a long time ago. And the world, life is in the future. Like the world is going forward. The world is not going backwards. So if the game of golf is ever really going to grow, this is the only way it's going to happen. I'm not going to say the phrase, But if people are going to pick up the game and it's going to expand in its participation level, and if it's going to be the hobby.
That's going to be able to expand the hobby.
Expand the hobby. Yes, not in number, just, you know, in mass or whatever. I get it. But anyway, you know what I'm saying, right? The game is going forward. This is forward progress in the game.
And as much as the haters and losers continue to hate and lose, this is happening. Cam Smith and Mark Leishman going down, getting one of these events down in Australia. You think Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka are just going to play this one event and then hop back in a plane? No, they're going to get down there and they're going to play the Australian Open. They're going to play the Australian PGA. And if the PGA Tour and Monahan or whomever his successor is after they shit can him, don't see that this is expanding the hobby, then they're the villains in this story.
Right on. I think they're going to keep him now. I think Tiger and Rory have a guy that they can give him the exact kind of hair gel that he likes, and they can pat him on the head and just puppet him to say whatever he needs to say and just say, listen, you can keep your job. You're never going to get a raise and you're not going to get any piece of this. But whenever we want a larger percentage of anything, you're going to go out and talk about what a groundbreaking initiative it is and how everyone is in complete support of it, even though half the people in the meeting didn't know what the implications were, a la that John Rahm thing we played on the last episode of the podcast where he goes, well, I can't play that many tournaments. I'm not going to.
Okay, so I want to hear more about Dust Day on site as a credentialed media member, but since you guys brought it up and we can't get off it, I feel compelled to also mention all this history and legacy stuff. I just laugh and laugh and laugh because that same history and legacy was monetized and sold to sponsors, title sponsors, right? Like, Jay uses that as a weapon to increase the value, to fleece these title sponsors of more money as if they're buying the history. Like, if it's so sacred, why are you selling it, Jay? Come on, man. But with that being said, Duff, let's take us back to the International Golf Course. It's not in Boston, but we say it's in Boston because that's easier.
So it's not in Boston. I do want to point out it's also not in Worcester. We talked about Scott Stallings' hometown of Worcester. It's not in Worcester. It's a good 25-30 minutes from Worcester. It's 20 plus miles from Worcester. It's in this no man's land part of the state. It's still, I guess, it's central Massachusetts. It's close to Leominster, Boxborough, Marlborough, Acton, all those places. I listened to the Shotgun Start. You know, I always listen, and I was honestly a little bit shook. I felt like Andy and Brendan on the latest Shotgun Start. Is there such a thing as collegial appropriation? Because they did a 15-minute bit talking about the UMass basketball team from the early 90s. And those guys didn't. I actually was there. I was covering that UMass basketball team with Mike Reese, now with ESPN. That was my school. That's my alma mater. I have a degree from that school, and I was at those games. And I had just had to feel like, you know, in the same way that the PGA is ripping off Liv a little bit, I felt like Shotgun Start, they might be stealing some of my business.
Duff, is there some game coverage somewhere on the internet we can read? Did you ever call Marcus Camby a namby-pamby?
I know. I was a big Marcus Camby guy. Marcus Camby, Lou Rowe. Even before Lou Rowe came, Will Herndon was kind of one of the originators. Back, I was at UMass when there was still the Cage. So I don't know if you remember Rage in the Cage, but there was a small gym that UMass played in before the Mullen Center was built, the house that Camby and Calipari built. That was good times. Midnight Madness to start the season. But let's not, the point is we're far away from Amherst, Massachusetts, which is in fact in Western Mass. It only took me maybe 45 minutes to get there this morning. It's not that far away. It's Bolton. It's fine. Everything's fine. Back to Bolton.
How's the parking situation?
Parking was fantastic. So, you know, you get the little media credential, you wave it at somebody, they send you to a little parking lot. It's right near the media center. Loved it. But then you get to the media center and, you know, no shade thrown at the Live people who have been very kind to us. It's kind of a dog eat dog situation when it comes to parking for the rest of the week. So they had a limited number of parking passes for media for the rest of the week. And I think it was one per outlet. Some of these places, I'm not calling out anyone out by name, but these country club adjacent dudes, they're rolling deep. They got like five guys there. They are monopolizing the press conference. They, you know, five, six questions for every person. Country club adjacent. Jeez. You know, all you people on Twitter who've been coming after me, go bother those country club adjacent guys. Those guys are, they're big time. So anyway, it was fine. Parking was fine. Lunch was fine. There was chicken, kind of a rubbery chicken, and some sort of salmon. I'm not a big salmon guy. It was fine. Everything was fine. I think there was cauliflower, some salads, whatever you need. It was fine. The food was fine. I think I'm looking forward to the fans coming in. I want to eat lunch with the people. I'm a man of the people. Yeah. I want to get in there, see what the concessions are all about, get into the food truck scene, see what's happening in Bolt, you know?
Yeah, I'm excited. Was there pro-am today? Practice round? What's going on?
No, so the pro-am is tomorrow. There was a party tonight. We were not invited. I think that was players and their guests only. There's a pro-am tomorrow. Today was practice rounds. I happened to go out on one of the practice rounds. Cam Smith, the number two golfer in the world, and Mark Leishman and Matt Jones, who were all playing together on Punch GC, decided to play a practice round this afternoon. They went out at about 1 o'clock p.m. And even though there were media members from all over the world at this tournament, I guess none of them thought it was interesting to see Cam Smith, the number two golfer in the world, play his practice round, his first ever practice round as a LIV golfer. I thought it was interesting. So I went out there with them. I was the only media member with them. It was just the guys and their caddies. And some of their family. So, Mark Leishman's mom, she and I are good friends now. Mark Leishman's dad. Yeah, we talked all about spiders and potential team name changes for Punch GC. We're close.
Anything that we can share here on the pod as far as names getting worked on?
No, all that kind of stuff was on, I get confused with these media terms. It was either off the record or on background, whatever. Sure, we had conversations. Sure, I'm not going to talk out of school. I suggested some names. I asked some questions. Mark's mom seemed to think that we Americans have an outsized idea of the dangerousness of the spider situation in Australia. I've never been to Australia, but I've heard so many things about the spiders. She assures me it's no big deal. Nothing to worry about. You want to go down there? You want to play golf? You want to do scuba diving? Whatever. Rest assured, it's very unlikely that you're going to be bitten by a poisonous spider. So it's not that big of a deal.
I feel like everything that I've watched on cable mentioned that like 14 out of the top 10 most dangerous arachnids and snakes were all from Australia.
Yeah,
and they were all going to be within 100 yards of me when I get off
again,
the plane.
That's what I heard too. But Polita, she tells me there's nothing to worry about. Paul and I didn't get into any spider discussion, but he seemed robust. I don't think he's worried about any spiders. He's going off to play golf tomorrow. He's not going to stick around for the pro-am. He's got other plans in the Boston area. Mom's going to walk around, see some of the sites. I don't know if Old Ironsides maybe, but just so much to do here in Massachusetts. Great. Just really excited. Hope this will be an annual stop on the LIV Tour.
Are Leish and Cam, are they feeling good?
Yeah. So the group was, that's going to be a fun team to watch. They clearly liked each other. Cam and Mark have a really easygoing relationship. It wasn't, slapstick comedy out there, but just lots of smiles, totally loose. Cam, he walked out there. The first hole that they're playing here at the International is over 500 yards, plays as a par four. It was the longest par four for sure in the front nine. Cam hit both Cam and Leishman hit their drives through the fairway, brought them back to hit approach shots because they'll obviously hit less than driver tomorrow or Friday. But Cam left himself with about 225 in, hit it to about 8 inches. On hole number two, his approach was...
Oh, decent.
Yeah, on hole number two, he had about 2 feet more than that. So he was 2 under through two with about 3.5-4 feet of putts made. I don't think he's going to have a problem with this course. I mean, it's pretty short. It's pretty in front of you. We only walked the front nine, so I didn't get to see the back nine. But if it's anything like the front, I think these guys are going to make pretty easy work of it. The wind was blowing fairly well out there. There are a bunch of holes that are elevated, and that's where the wind really, really affects the ball. 3, 4, 5 range, the wind was really blowing. But for the most part, I would expect low scores.
Okay, yeah, it says 6,965 yards, par 72, at least on this part. Yeah. Who knows if par is going to get changed for them? You mentioned that the first hole might be converted into a par 4.
Yeah, they're so playing
7,000 yards, par 70 is still really short for this caliber of player.
I can confirm that they're playing a par 70. So it's 69-44, okay, par 70. The longest hole, of course, the longest par 4 is that first hole, which is 524. Actually, the 14th hole is 533 yards. That's also playing as a par 4. But there are a lot of pretty short holes. Like number 3 is 352. Number 5 is 341. The guys were going after those. We'll see a lot of birdies, probably some eagles. It should be fun to watch.
Soft, hard ground, bouncy ball.
I would say it's soft-ish. Mark Leishman is a grass expert. He talked about that a little bit in his press conference today. one of his hobbies is growing grass, and so he was talking a little bit about.
I've seen that on Instagram.
Yeah, a little bit about the turf.
Electric.
All of the guys were taking big beaver pelts from the fairway. It was a little soft. There were ball marks being made on the greens, but the greens were running pretty quickly. They'll be able to spin the ball, but it'll be at the speed they like to putt.
For the golf course nerds, you've played a lot of places. We've played a lot of places. Do you have a comp for it? What did it remind you of?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot, JT. I am. I know you
are. Thank you, man.
Well, I'll buy you some time, Duffer, while you think about it. Cause like I was thinking about that 2 OTP and it's like, I don't know anything about this course. I'm like looking at some pictures of it and some video. It's not really ringing a bell, but I don't know much about the property, but the only thing I know is that Core and Crenshaw are going to come blow it up at some point.
I will tell you, I can't think of a course that it reminds me of. I'll tell you, it's very straightforward. The front nine is very straightforward. Any dog legs that you would call a dog leg are insignificant. There were no holes in which they had to shape the ball. There were no holes that they had to hit over a particularly high set of trees to cut a corner. Pretty much every hole was straightforward, straight ahead of them. This isn't going to be – you won't find this on any of your top 100 lists. It's well manicured. The bunkering, I understand, was recently redone. There are some deep bunkers. There are some interesting slopes on some of the greens. It's a golf course. Some of the best players in the world are going to be playing on it. They're going to shoot good scores. It'll be fun to watch.
So what? Anything else interesting from your walk and your day as a credentialed media member for Live Laugh Golf on site there for Live Boston? Any interesting people you met or rubbed elbows with that you're excited about?
No, I'm excited about the golfers. It was fun to get on the range. Bryson did a clinic today with Martin Keimer and Wade Ormsby and Greg Norman for United States military veterans. It was great to watch. I mean, Bryson, he was in his element. He was explaining everything about the length of his irons and the diameter of his grips and the length of
course, it's obviously the girth, not the length.
And the length of his driver when he's hitting long drives. He did some long drive exhibitions. He was just pounding the ball. It's incredible to be there and see that in person, how far he hits the ball. So that was a lot of fun. I think the military guys really enjoyed it. Greg was out there also in his element talking about some of his favorite firearms. I mean, it was a freewheeling conversation on the range today. But it was a lot of fun. It's Wednesday. The tournament starts on Friday. It was early. There wasn't that much action going around. I think tomorrow with Pro-Am, my understanding is they're going to play 18 holes. It'll be more lively. Looking forward to that.
Right on. Did anyone from Live give you an impression of how many people would be there each day?
No.
Or how many tickets were sold?
No, nothing. I didn't ask, okay. But I will for you tomorrow, OTP.
Thank you. I have more. And more of those.
Yeah, so they were still building all of the accoutrement for the tournament. You know, the concession stands, the merchandise stands, all of the bicycle area where you can power up your devices, and there's, you know, you chip into this thing, and there are all the games and the fan areas. Like I said, there's the birdie shack there between the third and fourth hole. I think we talked about that, which is a nice open area. You know, they've got a bar and you can get food up there, and you can overlook the third green and the fourth tee. The fourth hole is a par three. It's about, I want to say about 175 yards, but it's about 100-foot vertical drop. So you've got a really nice view of the fourth hole, but also kind of the hills of central Massachusetts. Really nice view up there. So, you know, the course, again, maybe not architecturally important, but a fun walk, some beautiful views, and you walk through the forest. It's just really just a nice part of the country.
Should we run down the list of guys now?
Yeah, well, so what we didn't talk about, obviously, there's Bubba, and Bubba is not playing. He's going to be a captain. But I think Harold Varner is an important addition to LIV Golf. You know, he's one of the few black players on the PGA Tour. He's very popular. He's just been starting to play, I think, some of the best golf of his career. He won the Saudi event less than a year ago. One of the things he said that he's definitely planning to be back, I think that's in January of next year. And Bubba also in the press conference said that he had circled that event. And that's, I think, where he's hoping that he'll make his comeback. So I know those guys are going to be back there for that event. I tweeted what Harold said his wife told him about making the decision to join LIV. I'm not going to say that because this is an all ages G-rated podcast. But Harold said his wife said, F everybody, do what you want to do. And listen, he knows that there's a lot of people that feel very strongly about this tour and are very much against anybody who goes and will turn against them, even if they've been fans for a long time. He acknowledged it. He said he doesn't like it, but he thinks that this decision was the best, not only for him and his family, but also for his charitable efforts, what he wants to do with the game of golf. And he had some really pointed comments where Bubba was talking about, you know, growing the game, and this is what we need to do to get a younger audience into the game. And Harold had some really pointed comments that were like, what we need to do is make the game cheaper. Nobody can play it. Where I came from, nobody could play it. Part of what he wants to do with this money is help people in the kinds of communities that Harold came from be able to get into this game. So when you talk about expanding the hobby, Harold sounds like he's somebody who really literally wants to put his money where his mouth is. So,
yeah, I love it. If he can do anything to make the game a little bit smaller, I mean, real estate's a problem, and a little bit cheaper, and get it in more urban areas and get it in more communities where people are just away from golf. Even in rural southern Indiana, there are places with gates and there are places that I cannot get invited to play, or that I'm, you know, even in the,
well, nothing's going to change that OTP.
I know. Well, a lot of that's personal to me, of course. I mean, let's go ahead and do that. But you know what I mean? Like the gates are high and locked in the United States.
Too much less exclusive over the years. You know, we had this building boom, this golf course building boom, and so much of it was in residential communities that were not.
It was a real estate gold rush.
Yeah, not low end residential communities. So I don't think that there's been too much activity over the past decade or two, even with Tiger Woods, who has been a generational personality and talent. I don't think that there's been enough done to bring golf to communities like Harold's, let alone into communities and parts of the world like those Bon Lahiri came from. So I think these signings, and, you know, if I don't see why we wouldn't take these guys at their word. They sound like much of what they want to do with this money that they understand to be like winning the lottery is to take it back and give some of it back. And, there's just so much cynicism in the media and on Twitter and everybody, oh, you're so greedy. And I'm just not buying it. When you listen to somebody like Bon Lahiri talk, when you see the seriousness with which he takes what needs to be done in society in India, I don't know how you can listen to his words and be that cynical. I just don't.
Yeah. Yeah. In the setup in the PGA Tour world that he would be in to get the kind of leverage that he has now, he'd have to be a top five player for over a decade.
Yeah, the PGA Tour only cares about the United States, basically, and to finally have a global product. So, like, I love hearing this stuff, and then like that combined, that sort of spirit of helping the worldwide community and truly everybody breaking barriers, all that kind of stuff. Like, which I know sounds cliche, that's the whole sports washing angle, but we're not going to get into that. We're not touching that stuff. But that combined with the atmosphere and that familiarity, that buddy vibe, that different sort of atmosphere, because the PGA Tour is also really cutthroat, right? Like, these guys aren't generally speaking friends. That's why when you get a group of golfers that have any sort of personality and are willing to put themselves out there, they become just this obsession of the nation of golf fans because, oh, they're buddies, they're having a good time. That's cool. I'm drawn to that. So when I hear what they're trying to do in communities to make golf accessible and bring this money back to where they're from, combined with just the potentially more entertaining atmosphere as a golf fan, where do we lose as a golf fan in this situation? I'm not seeing it yet. So I'm
how could you not want Lahiri to succeed? How could you not want Varner to succeed? How could you not want Watson to succeed at what they've laid out and what they've said they wish to do? It's so chicken
Not only that, but
you probably won't, or it's not enough,
think that this has made golf worse? The idea that what has happened over the past 6 months has made golf worse is just facially absurd. We know that the PGA Tour is going to have 10 events that are better than any event they had last year, next year. The PGA Tour is
great.
Undeniably going to be a better product next year than it was this year. And in addition to that, oh yeah, we've got an entirely different tour playing an entirely different kind of golf with a bunch of other really, really good players. And we still have four major championships that, if they're worse, it's only because the powers that run them have chosen to make them worse.
We're talking about the Illuminati here, of course. And that's the thing. It's like, we still have the majors. Like, all of this stuff is happening. PGA Tour making must-watch tournaments that you're going to tune in for these better events and deeper field. Well, maybe not deeper fields, stronger fields, right? We're talking about possibly limiting the field size in some events.
We'll see. Next year, they should be similar. But the point is that the only tournaments that will arguably be made worse are the ones that no one was watching anyway. Like the super mediocre tournament is being made a little bit worse, but 10 tournaments are being made much, much, much better. And then we have this other product that a lot of people also like. The only people who can really complain about this are people who make their living talking about, writing about, speaking about 47 events per year. And they want to have, like, just please make number 44 a little bit okay. Like, nobody else cares because people are watching football. You know, that tournament doesn't matter. All right, so let's talk about this tournament. This is going to be our last podcast before play begins on Friday. Of course, we'll do a recap on Sunday night. But let's talk about this one. I mean, let's get our bets in. Who does everybody like? J-Score, we'll let you go first. Who are you picking this week?
Okay, so my pick for the week, a player I'm quite fond of. He's pretty good. I think a lot of people are familiar with who he is. Mr. Cam Smith.
Cam Smith, an Australian.
Yes, an Australian.
OTP Australia is like champion. It's going to be my second country, like the St. Louis Cardinals of my national love.
Oh man, if I can fly down there from Scotland to visit you, I will love it. Let's make it happen.
All right, you got Cam Smith. You don't think there's going to be a little bit of a little hangover? He's been dealing with Twitter hate. You know, one of the things he said in his press conference is that he doesn't go on social media, and from what I can tell, that's true. He doesn't have a presence on Twitter, on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So Cam's probably not at all bothered by what people have been saying about him on Twitter. He's not reading it. Doesn't care. Not interested.
No, I don't. I don't think the Twitter thing will bother him. And then even more so in his corner, he's got the Iceman who won in New Jersey. His shows up, wins. I don't see why Cam can't learn a little something from that. And
yeah, he's going off with Stenson and DJ. That's a pairing going off hole number one. Again, he made easy work of it today. So it's certainly a birdie opportunity for him right off the bat. All right, Cam Smith, good job. You picked number two in the world. You went chalk.
Thank you.
Congratulations. OTP.
Thank you.
Okay, just quickly there, Cameron Smith, the betting favorite, according to bet365.com.
Of course he is.
Plus 550. So gutsy pick.
I haven't won yet. I have to. I mean, come on.
You haven't, and you won't, because Bryson DeChambeau is going to win this week at 20-1.
Yeah,
6,900-yard golf course. The guy sends it.
I don't know that he's going to win, but I love that number. And you and I are going to have a little chat after we get offline and talk about maybe putting down a couple of shekels on that 20-1 line, because I like Bryson there.
I don't know what website's doing this in Indiana, but we're going
to
look.
It's just crazy to me that in a 48-person field at a short course, Bryson is 20-1. It just doesn't make sense.
That's awesome.
Okay, Bryson's a good pick. I don't mind it. I'm going to go with DJ, though. DJ is still one of the 5 to 10 best players in the world. He also has a little length. He shouldn't have too much trouble on this course. It's straightforward. He is going to hit driver. He may not be able to hit driver on every hole. Some of these 340-yard par fours, I don't know if driver might be too much, depending on which way the wind is blowing. And by the way, the wind was blowing today significantly. There are some elevation changes. As I said, number four is like a 100-foot drop. When you're up at top of that hill, the wind is whipping like 25 miles an hour. And then down where the flag is, protected by the trees, it's not blowing it at all. So some of these guys are going to have a little trouble with that. I just think DJ, I'd be happy to pick DJ every week. I mean, he's...
Of course.
What?
Second choice, 6-1.
Okay, well, you can't call it chalk, though. J-Score got the chalk. All right, what about teams?
Do we have any teams?
So we should talk about there were some shakeups on the teams. Of course, Cam Smith went to the Punch GC along with Mark Leishman. As I said, they played their practice round. Matt Jones joined them today. He is number three on
fast
that
playing Matt Jones.
And then I think
fast playing Matt Jones.
And then Wade Ormsby is the fourth member of that team. So the Aussies have their team. They're still going to be called Punch GC this week, as far as I know. The big shakeup, of course, was with Torque GC. And we haven't talked at all about Joaquin Niemann, I don't think. Again, has these same issues when it comes to bringing golf to his part of the world. He talked today about how golf is just not a popular sport in Chile, and he'd like to help change that. And so there were no guarantees, it sounded like, that there would be any tournaments there immediately. But I'm sure that's something he'll be talking about with Craig as they go forward. But he moved to Torque GC. All of the Japanese players are no longer on that team. What had been a very Japanese team, it's now Joaquin's team. Thoughts on that, guys?
Yes. Also on Torque GC, Scott Vincent, in his fourth live event on his fourth different squad, already a journeyman. Let's bring it home, Scott. Play well, buddy.
I think it's worth talking about. You know, every time there are new signees, Twitter lights up with, oh, what happened to all those guys who aren't playing anymore? What's going to happen to them? Oh, I guess they gave up their career for one event on Live Golf. Well, that's stupid. Okay, it's really stupid.
Yeah.
Let's keep in mind right now that the only tour that is successfully precluding players who have played in live events from playing in their events is the PGA Tour of the United States, right? Mm-hmm. They're the only ones. Everybody else can go back to where they were playing before. And there is nobody who had fully exempt status on the PGA Tour who went to live. And also, none of these guys were fooled. Like, oh, I thought I signed a 3-year contract, but it turned out it was only a 1-tournament contract. They all knew what they were doing. This isn't the end of the line. So these Japanese guys who aren't playing on Torque GC, first of all, there's the qualifying tournaments where they can get back in, okay? But beyond that, they can go back to the tours they were playing on before with a few hundred thousand extra dollars in their pockets, or maybe more if they had guarantees for those one or two or three tournaments they played prior to now. So let's not cry for those guys. Let's not try to use this as ammunition as to why, oh, it's another reason why LIV is bad. Greg pulled the wool over your eyes. No, he didn't. Everybody knew that there were going to be more signings. These guys didn't believe that they were staying forever in case Cam Smith came along.
This was the last tournament so that you could get four in before the season-long championship. So in terms of people being incentivized to come over, they probably won't come after this one until next season starts, unless there be some massive change or some huge offer or something, right? Because there's so much riding on those next four tournaments.
Well,
so if you're out there paying attention, you're not looking for more changes in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, maybe. So part of that, of course, is true. You've got to play four events if you want to be eligible for the bonus pool for the individual championship, which is currently set at $18 million. However, there is still the President's Cup upcoming. So there could be members of the United States President's Cup team, for example, who really wanted to play in this international event. Does the potential to win $18 million or the second prize or the third prize in the bonus pool, which is not guaranteed, you got to win a couple of these tournaments, does that outweigh the opportunity to play in this international competition? And then still, if LIV Golf really wants this player, this hypothetical player who may be playing on the United States President's Cup team, really wants him, can he just add $18 million to the guarantee to bring him over? So I don't think it's definitely the end of it. Certainly there was something to Cam Smith, some of these guys playing in this event so that they could be eligible, because Cam Smith, there's no reason to believe he's number two in the world. He's playing the best golf of his life right now. There's no reason to believe he can't win one or two of these and get that.
Yeah, that's one of those you know what I mean deals. Like, that's how you play your way in. Of course, we acknowledge they have the flexibility to, you know, we're making up things as we go. We're nimble. We're flexible. Yeah. But one thing I just want to get in really quick here. I know we don't have a ton of time, but there's been a lot made in the press of how people going to LIV has just like wreaked havoc on the President's Cup squad for the international side as it sits. People coming to LIV Golf and being taken out of President's Cup consideration hasn't been that great for the United States either. The last few guys in on that side are not great.
Yeah, well, I don't think the United States is particularly worried about being able to beat.
My dad's barber is in 11th. I'm just saying, yeah. The point system is screwy. Listen,
you know how I feel about these international competitions. Nobody cares about the President's Cup. Nobody cares.
I got that for you folks. I did that for you.
Nobody cares. Okay. Last time around, we had Tiger MFing Woods as the player captain, and it was still kind of like okay ratings. I mean, we'll talk about how they're the greatest President's Cup ratings ever, and that's true. But they still are not good. They're still not as good as any major championship. They're nothing to write home about. They're not as good as like any average SEC football game on any given Saturday. Nobody cares about the President's Cup. They just don't.
That was just superfluous.
So you know what's ironic, like sort of funny though about the whole situation is that if through all this, like if Tom Hoagie ends up making it, like I'm actually more interested in the President's Cup.
Of course you are. For those of you in Australia or Indonesia, we love our Australian and Indonesian fans. J-Score is from a part of the world that is, what's it called again? North Dakota. It's in North Dakota, and that's where this guy Tom Hoagie is from. And so J-Score roots for him. So, you know, we all have our rooting interests. We're all parochial to some extent, and even our J-Score is not immune from that. I do want to say that Mark Leishman, Cam Smith, both said, Cam Smith especially said, he still would like to play in the President's Cup. He's one of the very few people who seemingly cares about the President's Cup. He's available. Trevor Immelman, you have his number. Give him a call. He's happy to play.
Yeah, figure that out.
So back to the teams for a second. So Crushers GC also had some changes since, you know, Duff has got the Four Aces Dynasty, of course. I feel I need to give a couple updates here. Lahiri, welcome aboard. I'm excited for Bon Lahiri to join Crushers.
And Bon Lahiri said that he's excited to play for and with Bryson. So I'm excited to see how.
Of course he is.
Yeah. Well, he
said,
you know,
there's a big ideation dinner. Yeah. Did you hear about the ideation dinner?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
They were out just workshopping. They've got big ideas, merch, I'm sure, NFTs, like all these great, you know, I'm sure multi-level marketing.
I love it. Love the business opportunities. I can't wait to get Bon Lahiri and some of Bryson's YouTube content. I'm excited for that.
Oh, it's going
to
be fantastic.
Bryson, by the way, if you're listening, I love the content. Love what you've been doing. Saw the Chris Pratt video the other day. Big fan. Let's get something going here. Let's do a little collab, as they say.
Bryson's been pumping out the content. Love to see that. Love to see that. And then Sean Norris drew the short straw. He is out.
Oh, hate to see you go, Sean.
GC.
Hey, but good news. He's in Stinger GC, baby. He's with me now. It was all part of our master plan.
For those of you, my fellow Four Aces fans, Pat Perez is still on the team. We haven't gotten rid of Pat Perez, so our team remains intact. Just kidding, Pat. We love you, buddy.
Yeah, no more Go Pooj. Sorry, everyone. No more shout-outs for him. His amateur career in LIV appears to be on pause. He's going back to school, I guess. That's the latest update.
Love
I
that.
Have.
Stay in school, kids.
Calls and voicemails were not returned for obvious reasons.
All right. Enjoy the golf. We'll see you Sunday.
See ya.
Take care.